Our scripture lesson for this evening is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Jesus is preaching what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. If you have your Bibles, please turn there with me or take a pew Bible. And I would like to invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder," and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, "You fool," will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have declared it boldly and clearly so that we might understand it, so that we might receive it into our hearts and minds and live by it. We pray, Lord, that we might receive the word by grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit in order that we might receive you also. As we come to the table, remember the sacrifice that was made for us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. What does it take to murder someone? What is the frame of mind that someone must have in order to approach another human being who was created in the image of God and snuff out the life of that other person? How much rage must one possess? How much disdain for someone must you have to motivate physical harm against that person? How much hatred must you have to take up violence against another person and murder them? And why would anyone do such a thing? It seems unthinkable, because it is. It is an unthinkable and unspeakable act to steal the life of another human being, and yet it happens all the time. You are only one decision away from being incarcerated. I heard these words spoken to me when I was about 20 years old. I was a junior, and one of my college professors was speaking to a small group of young men. I was one of those young men in the group. I don't remember in the slightest what it was that we were studying or what the group was discussing at the time, but I remember distinctly and with crystalline clarity those words. It was like a shot out of the dark. You are only one decision away from being incarcerated. You are only one bad decision away from your entire life being upended. All of us in this sanctuary are always and only ever one bad decision away from having our lives ruined. Having your life ruined is not as hard as you think. You are only one bad decision away from being arrested by the police. You are only one bad decision away from standing before a judge who will hold the course of your life in his hand and decide for you what the future of your life will be. You are only one decision away from life-altering change. It's not as hard to cross that line as you think, especially if you're not thinking, especially if you're being led by the nose, led by your passions. It was a crime of passion, Your Honor. My client saw his wife in the arms of another man, and the rage took over. His jealousy got the better of him. He was just uncontrollable. Passions force decisions. As the flesh rises up, as debased instincts take over, and then the deed is done. It's over. And no one's life will ever be the same. You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder." And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. Now, if murder was difficult to accomplish, then there would be no need for this prohibition. Why tell people to not do something that they're not inclined to do? But if they are inclined, and they are, then they need the commandment. Because you're only ever one decision away from being incarcerated. It only takes one moment, one bad decision. You cross that line. It's not as hard as you think. Moses, having spent 40 days and nights on the mountain, having spent time in the presence of Almighty God, descends from the mountain carrying in his arms two stone tablets containing 10 divine words. They are the law of God, and with them men have their passions governed so that they might live at peace. Peace with one another, and in the righteousness of God and before the God who made them. And on that tablet of stone are inscribed the words, "You shall not murder." Those words are needed. They're necessary because the people are numerous and the passions run high. And it only takes one bad decision. And you find yourself before the judge. You are all capable of murder. It is easier than you think. And that's why God must say, "You shall not." But it's not just the murder. It's not just the physical altercation. It's the passion, it's the rage, it's the anger that will also bring to us judgment. You have heard that it was said of old, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment." But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, "You fool," will be liable to the hell of fire. Standing under judgment is easier than you think. All of us are capable of murder because all of us have been angry at our brother. All of us have stolen life from someone else. We have killed with our hearts, in our anger towards our neighbor, in our anger towards our spouse, when we are angry at our children. We all stand condemned before the judge. And who among us has not been angry at Almighty God? Who among us has not whispered in the quiet anger of our hearts, God, you don't love me. God, you don't care about me. God, I don't know if I can trust you. What does it take to murder someone? Passion. And there was a passion in the room that night. Jesus gathered his disciples and he washed their feet. And Peter passionately said, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you will have no share of me." There was passion in the room. And Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And when Jesus had dipped a morsel, he gave it to Judas and said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." And soon there would be passion among the crowds as they all cried out, "Away with this man and release to us Barabbas," a man who had been thrown into prison for murder. They kept shouting, "Release Barabbas and crucify Jesus." There was murder in their hearts and in their voices, because he came to serve them at the level of their need, but all they wanted from him was to be served at the level of their desire. They wanted certain things from Jesus, but Jesus would not give it to them. So their desires boiled over into passions, and they nailed him to a cross, and they murdered the Son of God. It's easier than you think. All you need is passion. They showed their passion. They wore their angry hearts upon their sleeves, and they killed him. But Jesus took that passion that was in the room, and he made it his own. Jesus showed compassion by entering into the suffering and anguish of humanity, even as he was taken by the hands of angry men. Jesus showed compassion as he cried out to the Father, saying, "Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do." Jesus takes upon himself the sin in the room, the sin in this room, and the sin of the world, and he faces judgment for you. Your judgment becomes his. There's passion in this room tonight. There are the passions we all bring with us, the desires we have for ourselves, and the anger that so quickly comes when those desires are not met. And then there's the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself over to death in order that we might live. What will we do with this passion? You're only ever one decision away from your life being changed forever. What will you decide? We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So, what will you choose? the passion of your heart and fleshly desire, or will you choose Christ, the one who died for you, so that you could live for him? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we remember your passion. And we remember the passion that was in the crowd, the angered frenzy that cried out, "Crucify him." And we recognize in that scene our own unbridled passions, our own desires, our own choice to become murderers and to crucify the Lord of glory. But you, Lord, turn the angry passions of men into your suffering, which redeems us and saves us from the fires of hell. We thank you, Lord, for that suffering. We thank you that you were wounded in order that we might be healed. I pray, Lord, that we might have compassion tonight, that we might enter into your suffering, but also into the deep and resonating joy of life that comes by grace because you have come to us. Help us, Lord, to live for you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.